Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for this opportunity to gather here this morning. We now pause to confess our sins to you so that we then can observe your Eucharist. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in Christ's name. Amen. As we begin our services today, we thank you for the Eucharist as we symbolize our Lord Jesus Christ and who and what he is as far as our immutable Savior. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. And now, Father, we turn our attention to the cup. We now pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the work of our Lord. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. It's also the custom to retain this cup until all have been served. Do we have the cup? We never ate the bread. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we're now healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. And God the Father has laid on God the Son the iniquity of us all. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is a substitute for you. Take, eat, Do this in remembrance of me. And now, Father, we turn our attention to the cup. We now pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the work of our Lord. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. For one will heartily die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his sacrifice, we shall be saved from wrath through him. After this same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my substitutionary sacrifice. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do commemorate the Lord's sacrificial death until he comes. It is our custom to sing hymn number 118, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." We shall sing all four stanzas softly on the third, fortissimo on the final. Shall we stand as we sing? Please be seated. Well, that was a mess. All because of me, of course. You guys did great. We made it in our studies to James 5:13. Beg pardon? Oh, y'all didn't get the money yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to commemorate your grace through giving. We do so in the name of our great high priest and only Savior, namely Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, now, I'll see if I can get organized. I want to go back to James 5:13. You'll find it on page 263 of document 27. This is where we left off in our last study, and it reads this way in its expanded translation. Is anyone among you suffering adversity? This is the present active indicative of the verb kakapatheo. We'll keep on offering prayer. This is the present middle imperative, mood number 49 of the verb prosukamai. Is anyone ecstatic? Present active indicative of the verb ethemeo, to be of a cheerful mind. We'll keep on singing. Present middle command imperative mood number 50 of the verb solo. And that has to do with singing and singing praises. The word there is psalmos, and plural is psalmoi from the Psalms. And therefore, you're singing. Is anyone among you suffering adversity? That's where we go in point 24. But that's a super grace believer. Something wrong? 275. Well, I just mentioned James 5:17, and that's where we'll resume our study. I've got a binder with all these little things like this in it. I turned to the wrong pages, and therefore everything went wrong at that point. So we're on the bottom of page 275, and again we have James 5:17. It introduces a prayer from a man called Helias. This is a person that you know. Helias is his real name, but the translators of the Koine Greek back in the era when James decided that he needed a translation, an updated translation of the Bible, he pulled in all of his theologians together on three campuses and asked them to come up with a better translation. And in doing so, we wind up with the King James Version. When they got to Helias, they wanted to pull that into English. And they did so by spelling that name Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H. So if you wonder who Helias is, it's Elijah. And this is from the boys in England decided to anglicize that word. So we have Elijah. And interestingly enough, Elijah is now coming up in our study in James chapter 5. The authorized version of the Bible was produced in 1611 when King James called a conference of clergymen. They were designed to meet the public demand of a new version. 54 eminent scholars labored for 7 years in the production of what became known as the Authorized Version. The group was divided into six companies, with each company being assigned a certain portion of scriptures for translation, and with the work of each section being revised by that entire body. And so the history of the English Bible, this information is drawn from Hurdle's Standard Reference Indexed Bible, the Holy Bible, on pages 10 and 11. So that's the resource for that. We now return in our exegesis to the letter of James, returning with a brief review of recent efforts of translation. We have seen prayer for the individual in adversity in verse 13, and the super grace believer is involved in that particular passage. We can therefore observe prayer for the individual in adversity in verse 13, and the super grace believers involved. In verses 14 and 15, we've seen the power of prayer on the part of the pastor teacher dealing with the problem of a dying reversionist. In verse 16, we've seen the power of prayer on the part of the pastor teacher dealing with a believer in reversionism. This individual is very sick and is not dying as yet. In verses 17 and 18 is a prayer of a sick nation. Prayer for a nation in reversionism. Prayer for a nation which is about to be destroyed. And we resume our exegesis in James 5:17. Again, we have Elijah or Helias was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. Joe and I stayed up late last night, I did, trying to gather information as to what occurred yesterday in this country. We have now reached a point where we are divided as a nation. There are those who have in their minds the idea that things need to be drastically changed in opposition to foundational concepts and dictates found in our Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights. And they have been busy destroying this country for the last 3.5 years. They've made great progress. Whether this can reach fruition or not remains to be seen. But nevertheless, the vacuum that has occurred over the last several decades has reached a critical point. And that critical point has to do with the loss of thought that has emerged within the souls of our people. That critical thought that is lost is absent from the souls of the present generation. They have been rioting in the streets, the little darlings. They're in opposition to all of the things that are necessary to maintain freedom in a society. They are rebellious twits. They're the ones who have caused the problem, but they were not the Lone Rangers. Because for a century, those who now are in power have come to fruition. And as a result of those in leadership associated with those in academia, we have chaos in the client nation. There is not much that can be done about this, other than the few that are left with common sense, Bible doctrine in their souls, and the principles of establishment concepts can in any way pull this fat out of the fire. Yesterday, it reached critical point where one of the candidates for the presidency, running for the presidency, was the victim of an attempted assassination. Now, I don't care who's running for president. Nobody should shoot at a candidate for the presidency. Yet this is where we are now. This is the lowest a client nation can go. It's not that it's never been done before, but nevertheless, in the current zeitgeist that we've endured over the last 3.5 years, it's the summum bonum of the loss of thought. And here we sit. I apologize for my messing up the Eucharist, but here we sit going through the Word of God and looking at a verse like James 5:14 and Elijah. I'm reminded of the fact as we look at Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And that started a campaign for Elijah. And Elijah, therefore, has a lot to say and a lot to do. And what he is going through as he tries to figure out how what is known as Christendom can survive. He's a Jew. And therefore, he was a leader in his area of history. But he is emerging now in the first chapter of James, first letter of James in chapter 5. We're going back retrospectively to this man. He had to fight the battle. He had to go into varied and sundered places that God would lead him. And it got him to a point where there was going to be an attempted assassination. And he was able to survive all of this. There's nothing new under the sun. Elijah, it says here, Elias, was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Now, we're talking about the Jordan River. It's going to shrink up. There's going to be a brook called Kerith that gets involved in our study as well. He's going to run into a woman. This woman is going to be a part of the drama as well. She is going to add her ideas. Elijah is going to have his. And the drama is going to continue forward. And the very first letter in the New Testament brings us to chapter 5, and James takes us back to the Old Testament. And when he does that, we're getting a heads up on what has already occurred. And he has, therefore, the fear that it's going to occur again. For what amounts to the fact, he's writing the first entry into the New Testament canon, but coming out of a time of Judaism. Elijah was a man subject to the like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Interesting. 3 years and 6 months. The present chaos started 3 years and 6 months ago. Elijah, take two verses and two chapters in Kings. This is the story of how a nation was delivered in the time of great catastrophe. The fifth cycle of discipline was about to occur in the northern kingdom when the events which are described here came to pass. 3.5 years, interesting. Elijah is a very wonderful name. It talks about how Jehovah Elohim delivers. Elijah was, and it's an imperative indicative, Elijah was a handsome, strongly built man. Imperative active indicative of I me means that he kept on being around. Furthermore, it says he was a man. This guy is going to get in the crosshairs before it's over. It's hard not to be political right now. I'm supposed to stand here and teach doctrine without getting too much involved in politics. But I can tell you this. What Elijah had to do was become a politician in a sense. He had to stand for the truth. And he had to do it alone. And he ran into this woman. She was a We might call her a widow woman. Widow woman in the sense that her husband absconded, left her alone, and she had a son. She's left alone. And that's where he's staying. He's staying in an area in Israel, but across the river Jordan, therefore, in, let's call it, a territory not conversant with Israel. And so he's gone across the river, and he's going to hang out in a place called the Brook Kerith. And the name Elijah is now emerging on the scene. Keep on being around. So he was a man. The Greek word for anthropos, a generic term, but also used to indicate the fact that he was a spiritual giant. So now this is the first entry into the New Testament canon, and what does James do in chapter 5 is to go back into the Old Testament and bring up this biblical hero named Elijah. It says here that he was a man. Elijah was a very wonderful name, it says. It talks about Jehovah Elohim delivers. That's the hope that we have in Client Nation America, is that Jesus Christ will deliver. There's an imperative indicative a handsome, strongly built man. Imperative active indicative, I me, means that he kept on being around. Furthermore, he was a man. The Greek word is anthropos, a generic term, but also used to indicate the fact that he was a spiritual giant. So Elijah was, and we have the imperative active indicative of I, me. He was a man in every sense of the term. He was noble of soul because he had a lot of Bible doctrine in his soul. He was a super grace believer. He was strong, he was courageous, and he had great moral courage. He's going to have to stand fast against opposition. He was a man who stood in the gap, made it possible for his country to be delivered from the fifth cycle. One man stood in the gap in time of great national disaster, and we will see from this passage how he stood in the gap with prayer. Now remember our passage, James 5:16b. The prayer of a righteous believer has much power when it is operational. James 5:16b. Prayer is the concept here. The prayer of the righteous believer has much power when it is operational. You have the privilege of prayer 24/7. The believer is righteous. What does that mean? He's advanced in the concept of biblical theology to the point to where he has indwelt power in his volition. And all of that remains operational. And you see that in James 5:16, just noted. Now, when Elijah becomes operational in prayer, he was very used to the facet of the super grace life. And he's come down to the wire with prayer. His status quo, super grace status quo, plus his prayer was the means of delivering his country. Now this is Elijah doing this for Israel. That makes him a super grace hero. The next word in verse 17 reveals that he was subject to like passions. This is a compound adjective, hamartopathēs, and so hamartopathēs is the word here. This adjective describes Elijah as having similar passions of being subject to such feelings and circumstances and pressures. He was a normal person, and he had therefore has got to make decisions based on his personal inventory of ideas. Even in an environment of danger, he can therefore require, subscribe to, and apply what he knows biblically, regardless of the environment in which he functions. And that is the ace in the hole, so to speak, that you possess. Whatever you possess in your soul is all you can apply. And you can come to Bible class until hell freezes over, but if you don't retain the information, then you can't apply it under pressure. Now that's where the problem emerges in Client Nation America today, is that we have churches, both those kinds of churches that exegete Scripture from the original languages and those who do hoopla and prance in the aisles and everything else in between. And now you see what's going on in Client Nation America. What has just happened should have been expected because of the loss of thought. We have gotten to the point in Client Nation America to where people can take pot shots at candidates for presidency, regardless of their associations, be it Democrat, Republican, or whatever. They now stand as potential victims to those who have chaos in their souls and therefore motivated by others to wreak havoc in a client nation. If you have had some adversity, then you know how Elijah felt. You've had some pressures. If you've had your feelings hurt, if you have been disappointed, if you have been disheartened. So I recommend to you prayer for this country. I was about to say prayer for Donald Trump. He was assassinated, not successfully, but we call it an attempted assassination. Nevertheless, they winged him. And all of the hoopla for the last 3.5 years has led to that moment. There's a vacuum that has occurred, and into a vacuum, things are withdrawn from the zeitgeist and pulled in for people to assume, aggrandize, and apply. And when you've lost the thought, these kinds of things eventually occur, and it results in volitional decisions being made in order to create chaos in the society. This is a dark side modus operandi. It doesn't matter to us, really, who was assassinated. When I say it was an attempted assassination. How about Joe Biden? He needs to be defeated at the ballot box, not from a bullet. Same for Donald Trump. Ballot box, not by a bullet. Make your choice. But it is at the poll, not at the trigger. Nevertheless, here we all are, 21st century, 3.5 years of chaos has come to fruition, right smack dab in James 5. Elijah was not only a super grace hero, Elijah was a patriot. He loved his Lord. He loved his homeland, Israel. Elijah stepped into the gap and faced almost certain disaster. Elijah stepped into the gap. He stood up. He went forward. He did what the Lord asked him to do. He was willing to give his life for his Lord and his country, and to do it all at the same time. Elijah was a man, a human being, who had kept similar feelings, circumstances, and pressures, not as we are, but to us literally. The first guy that we see in our context who steps forward did so a couple of millennia ago. Stood up, stood fast. Now he's got to use his volition to carry forward whatever the Lord puts before him. He did it because it was the right thing to do. He knew how to make good decisions from a position of power, and therefore by executing, making decisions, then that power now would be currency within the zeitgeist of Israel and those environs around it. There's going to be warfare. That's what's percolating. We have the associative instrumental plural of the personal pronoun ego in an associative instrumental plural. The pronoun is the plural ego, means us, and refers to the believers in the church age, and thus refers to every believer in the dispensation. Elijah faced maximum apostasy. He faced maximum reversionism, which threatened his nation with total catastrophe. His nation was on the verge of the fifth cycle of discipline, just as our nation now faces today. Got a question for you. Don't anybody answer. Let's say that the bullet that was aimed for Donald Trump's head, missing it by a few millimeters, would have removed him from the presidential race. Okay? So now who do you vote for? Well, that would require a whole lot of conversation, wouldn't it? It's not a free republic when candidates, both Democrat, Republican, and others, are eliminated through violence. That's not even third world stuff. That's fourth world stuff. That's how low we've gotten. It took a century to do it. There is, therefore, a direct parallel between what Elijah faced in his day and what you and I as believers presently face in our nation today. It's in my notes. I know I screwed up and put the tab in the wrong place, but I screwed up, and this is what God the Father had designed for today. I hit the wrong tab. I apologize unreservedly. But I went back to last week. But now I can tell you this one right here is what was designed for today. Now I can bloviate about that. He prayed for his nation in disaster. And he might say, what did it take him so long? Why is he on this excursion anyhow? God put him in it to do what? To go in the dark side. He left Israel, went to the dark side. He prayed for his nation in disaster that God would, quote, knock on the door for 3.5 years. Then at the end of that time, he prayed that God would stop knocking on the door, and God stopped knocking on the door. As a result, the nation was ultimately delivered. Now, this is Israel. And this, we've gone away from the church age. We're going back in time to Elijah. You can get your Bible and start flipping around. You'll find it in the Old Testament and early in the Old Testament. Going all the way back in here. That's how far back we've gone in a client nation epistle. What's there? What is in this area of the Bible that needs to be taught first thing out of the box in a New Testament? Namely, James. The only thing going right now, and he ain't even through with chapter 5. And what is the first thing we start learning in James chapter 5? We are down to the point of where knocking on the door. God stopped knocking on the door. As a result, the nation was delivered. How does he get delivered? A guy named Elijah. Elijah, a human being, kept being similar to us in feelings and circumstances and pressures. Now, the next principle is a very important one because it says, and he prayed. Well, that's not a bad idea. As a super grace hero, he is comparable to a pastor teacher today, even though he was a prophet who prayed, an ingressive aorist middle indicative of prosukamai. It means to offer prayer. And it is used in verse 13 through 16 for redeeming time. Prayer redeems time. pray for the client nation. Pray for those who are in positions of authority in the client nation, regardless of who they are. Let Jesus Christ control history on this. If we are to survive as a client nation, biblical absolutes must enter into the rationales of those who call themselves citizens of client nation America. And I'm looking at a shrunken church this morning. And you're not Lone Rangers. It's all over this country, the reports are. Shrinkage except for the hoo-haws. They draw a crowd in a heartbeat because there's nothing to learn. It's all emotion. The next principle is a very important one because it says, and he prayed. As a super grace hero, he is comparable to the pastor teacher today, even though he was a prophet who prayed, ingressive, aorist, middle, indicative of prosukamai, to offer prayer for God to consider. Used here in verses 13 through 16, and the idea is to redeem time, buy time through prayer. He began initiating a prayer, which was given in part at the beginning of 3.5 years and was concluded at the end of that 3.5 years. Interesting to me, it's 3.5 years. And that's where we are presently. And we've got to have an Elijah to stand up and say, enough. But who is that going to be? Is it going to be you guys collectively? Can you stand fast? The prayer was concluded with a culminative arrest at the end of the 3.5 years on Mount Carmel. This prayer of a super grace hero is the basis for delivering his nation Israel. How about that? Let's get God involved. But its deliverance occurred through Jesus Christ knocking on the door. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, like y'all listen here, behold, I have been standing at the door and I am continuing to knock. If anyone detects and understands the sound of my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him and he will eat with me. Revelation 3:20. Jesus knocking on the door is a warning of discipline. Can you hear the knocking? We're hearing knock. Go outside the swinging doors and go out into the streets of St. Charles, Missouri. Move around a little bit. I suggest you go east. Travel 64. Go downtown. Get out of your car. Walk around. Say hello to all you see. Great day. Things going well with you? Oh, really? Why is that? Blabber, blabber, blabber. Oh, what you need is Bible doctrine. And then start ducking the gunfire. Jesus knocking on the door is a warning of discipline. And the knocking, you can hear noises that are so shrill it hurts the head. Can you hear the knocking? Here's where they had the no rain situation. This affected the agricultural economy, and the warning lasted for 3.5 years. Now, I personally don't know what's going on out in Kansas. I'm not keeping up. So we may have a bumper crops going on out there. I don't know. But Kansas and Nebraska and places of that ilk that have huge farms that grow food, and they harvest that food and put it on trucks, and off they go in the trucks, and they get themselves in various highways, and they go coast to coast with all this food. And you go to Deerberg's, and you go in there, and there's all wrapped up for you. But my question to you is, do you say prayers for the farmers in Kansas? What kind of doctrinal inventory do those farmers have out there? I'm just picking on Kansas because I figure that they do have corn out there, something like that. You like corn? What happens when we have a drought? Though they occur. You want to shut down a country? Get its food. At the end of 3.5 years, the nation is going to repent, it says here in context, and recover from reversionism. So it is an aggressive arrest for initiating a prayer for awaiting the Jews to the coming discipline of a reversionistic nation. Now, what is it? What has occurred historically in the present hour that gets our attention that God is saying to us collectively, you need to get your mind right? There are people in our society who want to be dictators. And as dictators, what is it that they've got on their minds to then do? And that means to take down client nation America and make it into something that they preferably want to experience, and therefore force that on the rest of us. And there's nothing new under the sun. Many client nations have preceded us in the fall. Nothing new under the sun. Thing is, question emerges, where's the next client nation? Where are you going to go? You got to get on something that moves. Canada? Mexico? Where? Santa Catalina? The middle voice is the indirect middle, which emphasizes the agent producing the action. The agent is Elijah. Man standing alone. Man standing alone. Elijah. One guy. How about that? At the end of chaos. In the middle of chaos. Who's the guy? A guy named Elijah. I'm standing alone. And the indicative mood is the reality of the fact that the prayer of the super grace believer, when operational, has a lot of power. This is the reality of much power in time of national catastrophe. We missed by millimeters the destruction of client nation America. By millimeters. I don't know what the outcome would have been. But that would have been spun like you've never seen spinning before. He deserved it. We're up to here, or whatever it would have been. Oh, there would have been a funeral and bugles and all the rest. But then, after that calmed down after a while, then we've got to do better. It is the instrumental singular of prosuke, prosuke, which is one of the nouns for prayer. And it means, in context, by means of prayer. So literally, by means of prayer, he began to pray. Who's this praying guy? Elijah. Can you imitate Elijah? Can you pray for client nation America? I think it needs it. Elijah, just a human being, kept on being similar to us in feelings and the circumstances he was facing. A lot of pressures involved. And so by means of prayer, he began to pray. In other words, Elijah is not a dummy. He's been given a mission. He's left Israel. He's now in the, the backyard across the river, across the Jordan. And there he is out there by himself. And he's got to make decisions from his personal inventory of ideas. And every decision he makes has got to promote the concept of absolute truth and stand fast with it. And if winds up with a woman who's had a husband abscond on her, and she's got a son, and she has no food, and what is she getting ready to do? Cook the last food she's got. She knows how to cook, apparently. It's in the text. And when they get through with the cooking, they're going to sit down and they're going to eat. And then what is her conclusion of that event? And then we're going to die. Why eat? She went through all the business of going through the razzmatazz of cooking a meal. She knew how to do that. Got it all cooked, put it out on the table, and told little Johnny to sit down, let's have a meal, and then we're going to die. That's not a problem-solving device. But, bless her heart, her husband has absconded on her. What's they going to do? She's got no hope. She's a woman by herself with a dependent and has no money. So let's eat what we got and then we'll die. Who's shown up on the scene to try and fix this? And that would be, namely, Elijah. Therefore, take a look at the woman as client nation America. Who is it that can pull our fat out of this fire? Who is that? Don't know. But if we are to survive, then somebody's got to step forward and say, I am willing to stand in the gap and try my best to fix this. Who's that going to be? This is one of those operational prayers which has much power. That is not found in the original, but it actually used to translate an aorist infinitive of purpose. That it might not rain is actually the constantive aorist active infinitive of breko plus the negative, and the breko means to rain, and with the negative it means not to rain, and it means not to send rain in the constantive aorist tense. And this refers to that 3.5-year period, and this is the point in which Elijah begins to pray. The content of his prayer, that it would not rain, and so that's a constantive aorist. Well, I've run out of time, but let's note point 35 to conclude the first session. This covers the period of 3.5 years or 42 months of drought. That is a prayer that prophesied it would be rainless every day. The active voice, the subject, God produces the action of the verb plus the negative, the request not to send rain, and which God purposefully imposed. I suggest to you that what's going on in client nation America now symbolically can be described as no rain. We've run out of time. We'll be back to resume our study at 10 till the hour.